Does anybody, when you feel like you should testify, then like your heart starts beating kind of fast, and it's like God, like no, that's probably not God. It's probably something else. Maybe something I ate, you know. It's probably God. Like if you want me to testify, I'll testify. But like, you're gonna have to really let me know, because like I don't really want to do this. And I'm gonna be quick. I wasn't supposed to say anything this morning, but I felt like I had to. Particularly when our brother just read that verse. Every good gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. Isn't it interesting that the Bible describes our God, our Father, Jesus Christ, as the Father of lights, right? And what's our theme been this weekend? That Jesus heals the eyes of the blind. Brother Tim mentioned the first night when you see, you know, you're driving down the highway and they've got these big old lights on. The only reason that they can work in the night is because they have those lights on. But back in Jesus' day, they didn't have those big old lights. So while it's light, you do your work, right? That is the Father of lights, in which there is no turning. What does that mean? He is faithful. There is, great is thy faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning with thee. There's not even a hint of turning. There's not even a hint of unfaithfulness. You know, again, like back to exactly what we've been talking about. And the biggest thing that I wanted to convey to you young people this morning is that I see a lot of you here, sort of repeat customers, if you will, right? You've come to camp for a lot of years, and I think that's tremendous. And I came to camp for a lot of years, right? Just, you know, as a camper, staff, right, working, and you know, I mentioned to the kids a couple of years ago, I get, now that I sit on the other side of the table with respect to work, and I'm actually interviewing instead of interviewing kids to work instead of being on the other side, the kids are coming around with all sorts of like internships. They got internships after freshman year. They got, you know, all sorts of things. Like I didn't have any of that stuff, you know. But so on one hand, I get it. Like, you know, once you hit college, you sophomore, junior year, you need to get an internship, and that's fine. But boy, what better place to get training and to get experience for the things that really matter in life than right here for 2 weeks in the summer? To sit at the feet of Jesus and learn and hear the word of God. But there's a danger in that in some respects. I grew up in North Carolina, and the culture in North Carolina where I grew up was everybody goes to church. It's just sort of a given that, like, you're going to go to church on Sunday morning. You know, you might have been out at the bar on Saturday night until 3 a.m., but you're gonna drag your butt out of bed and you're going to get to church on Sunday morning. And so, like, you know, there's good and bad in that. But the bad is that, and the bad perhaps in coming to camp every single year, is if you hear the word of God and God pricks your heart and your conscience and you don't respond, then your heart begins to harden. And that was my thought for, you know, as I looked across the room at you young people. I love the fact that you're here again. I love that. But what are you doing with the word of God that you've heard? The Bible says that God said to Saul, it's hard to kick against the goats. It's hard to kick against the pricks, right? What does that mean, goats? The image there is he's kicking with bare feet against thorns. That's hard. It goes without saying. The problem is that if you kick against the goats for long enough, it gets easier. It's hard at first, but it gets easier. And maybe this weekend, and like I said a couple nights ago, maybe you've been here for a couple of weeks. Maybe you've been here for a month since the season began. And maybe it's been hard to kick against the goats. Maybe you just got here this weekend, and right from day one, you know, you've been kicking against those goats, and God's been working on you, and God's been driving something into your heart and really tugging at you. And it's been hard to kick against the goats, but you keep kicking, and it'll get easier, and it'll get easier. And then eventually you can just completely ignore the voice of God. You can hear the good word, the good seed, but it'll fall on hard ground, right? So that's just one thing I wanted to encourage you of this weekend. We've heard some good things from Brother Matt, JC, Timmy last night. We've heard some good things. But there's a danger in that. If God has been speaking to you, do not harden your hearts. It's hard to kick against the goats, but it does get easier. And this weekend, and even this morning, you know, I don't want you to think that, like, just because it's not a night meeting. I know sometimes there's that sense that, okay, well, you know, it's not a night meeting, so like nothing, perhaps nothing heavy can happen. No, God can work right now, right? God can work here Sunday morning, pour out His Spirit in a tremendous and powerful way if we respond. Right, and ultimately, if we do that, then we can have all the things that we've been singing about this morning. We can come to know God and see God for who He really is. And when we do that, when we see Him, then we can fall down at His feet and worship Him. But first, respond. That is my encouragement to you young people here this morning. You hear again this morning. You're going to hear the good word of God again this morning. Hard to kick against the goads. Keep kicking. It'll get easier. Until, you know what, I don't need to go to church, I don't need to go to camp, I don't need God, right? Who knows? Who knows but perhaps that this is the last time perhaps that you're in a setting like this where you can respond. So that is my prayer for you this weekend. Ultimately, back to what our brother said, for the mercies of God, for the gift that God has given of His Son, Jesus Christ, who can cleanse us from all of our sin, who can deliver us, the Holy Spirit who can help us to fulfill and live in that new white garment that He provides to us. We can't do it. There's nothing that we can do in our own strength to get that garment. He gives it to us, and then He also gives us the Holy Spirit to keep that garment white. And for that gift, for mercy so great, what return can I make? For mercy so constant and sure, but that I'll love Him and I'll serve Him with all that I have as long as my life shall endure. That's my prayer for you this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. For mercy so great, what return can I make?
Ago kind of carries on with some of that same theme with Happy Day. I was just a little girl when I gave my life to Jesus, and He's been very faithful ever since, and He will be for every one of us. It doesn't matter our age. Now is the accepted time. Now is the time to surrender. Now is the time to make that commitment that I'm going to go on with Jesus for the rest of my life. And the chorus, well, this song was sung to a different melody, when I was baptized in water just a few weeks after I gave my heart to Jesus. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And that's the start for every one of us, is to have the sins removed. But then, were you really observing what you were singing? I hope you were, because it has a key for a spiritual life. He taught me how to watch and pray. Have you learned how to watch? To watch where you go and what you do and what you say, and even the attitude of your heart? Has he taught you how to watch and to pray? If we don't pray, we're not going to get very far in our spiritual life. We have to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. It's very easy for us to get down in the dumps about something. Something happens or somebody says something. And I remember one time something happened at work and I was way down, and God spoke to me in the car on my way home. Told me to sing a certain song, and I didn't feel like it, but I obeyed. And the joy of the Lord came in. He wants us to live rejoicing every day, no matter what the circumstances are. We can learn to rejoice in the Lord always. Always. And when we do, it's going to be a happy day every day. Not just the day we gave our heart to Jesus, but every day can be a day of joy. And I pray that for every one of us. No matter our age, no matter where we are in our spiritual walk, it will continue from this day forward in the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just wanted to share something briefly with you this morning. As you know, we've been studying for the youth retreat. We've been studying John 9, and just by a little bit, by way of a personal testimony. John 9 is a very special chapter to me. Even before we knew that we were going to use this as our theme for the youth retreat, it was something that I had studied in my own personal devotions, and I was reading through the book of John, and I read this ninth chapter, and then, you know, I moved on to chapter 10 and chapter 11, and I kept on going, but for some reason I kept on being drawn back to this chapter to look at it again and again. Just from a personal perspective, this chapter is so rich. There's so much in it that I feel I can use for my own walk with the Lord, and just opening my eyes to who Jesus is. I just want to share one or two thoughts of that with you. It's interesting that if you look at this chapter, it is in the Gospel of John, of course, but Jesus is present in the chapter, but the bulk of the verses are actually, Jesus is actually absent for that time, if you look at it. Jesus is in the first couple of verses of the chapter, and then he's in the last couple of verses of the chapter, but in the center of the chapter, he's not there. His work is there, what he did, what he accomplished in so far as the man born blind was made to see. He's present, but Jesus is absent. And it's interesting to me because in a lot of ways, Jesus' work is being confronted by different groups of people through the middle of the chapter. And I just want to read two verses. I guess it's two verses, is that right? 15th and the 16th verse of chapter 9 of the Gospel of John. Then again, the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, "He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and do see." Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. You know, it's I appreciated what's been said this so far this morning as far as the testimonies are concerned. Isaac said that he wasn't planning on speaking, but I'm glad he did, because it goes along with what was on my heart as well. You know, I don't know how many people here are from Christian families, but my own background is I come from a Christian family. I was brought up, my uncle is a pastor, and my parents are Sunday school teachers, worked with young people. So my grandparents were, foundations of the church on both sides. So I come from a Christian family. And so if you look at these two verses I read, you see the Pharisees there, and who are the Pharisees? The Pharisees are the Sunday school teachers. I mean, the Pharisees are the people. They're the religious leaders. They would have known the scriptures. And in fact, if you look at what they say here, the argument that they're having is a biblical argument. They're saying both of their positions of the Pharisees, and on the two sides, the division that's happening, both of them, you could look, and we're not going to do it, but you can look, and there are verses which will back up their perspectives. On the one side, it will say, in the Old Testament, it says if you break the Sabbath in the nation of Israel, you're put to death. That's what it says in the Old Testament. You can find it there. So those Pharisees are right. On the other side, you have the Pharisees say, but how can God answer a man? He's got to be a prophet. They don't say that specifically. He's got to be a prophet. How can God answer a man and do what? How can this man do what he did unless he's from God? And again, on the other side, you can look in the Old Testament and you can find verses that will back up how you are supposed to identify and test whether or not somebody is a prophet. If a prophet says that something's supposed to happen and it happens, or performs a miracle and it's performed, then that person can be considered a prophet. And so there's both sides of the Pharisees. The Sunday school teachers are having a biblical argument. But here's the problem, and this is the thing that spoke to my heart, and I just want to leave it with you this morning. You can know theories about God and not know God. You can know the scripture as literature, as words you read. You can understand the Bible. One of the illustrations that I've used before and that I think about is if you go on Amazon and you want to find a book about the Bible, there are hundreds of authors who will write books about the Bible who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who do not believe the truth of the words that they write or the words that they're writing about in the Bible. And I would encourage, just along with what Brother Isaac was saying, I would encourage all of you here today, maybe you come from a Christian family, maybe you don't. Maybe you know the scripture really well, maybe you don't. But here's the thing. If you know the scripture well, but you don't know the author of the Bible, you're going to be lost. You're going to be arguing about details. You're going to have an opinion about the scripture, and you're going to love to get into a good debate, but you're going to miss out on knowing Jesus. See, these Pharisees, they were confronted with what Jesus had just done. This man was born blind. You know, again, going back a little bit earlier, it's interesting that they know that this man's born blind. It at least suggests to us that this man was known. He was a person who was known to probably the Pharisees, probably the disciples, because how else would they know that he was born blind? And also the cities in those days weren't as large as the cities that are now. So it was kind of like Pilgrim Camp. You walk around and everybody eventually knows everybody because we are here. And it's like a small city. And so like they probably would have known who this man was. And so they were confronted with the fact that this man was born blind. Jesus interceded and now this man is no longer blind. And yet confronted with that, they're having an argument about the finer points of Old Testament philosophy instead of being confronted with Jesus and responding to that. And again, I just want to encourage not just the young people, but everyone here, along the lines of what Brother Isaac said, if you know the scripture, but you don't know the Savior, I want to invite you to come to know the Savior. Look at Jesus. You know, there's a big problem. Part of the reason why this is a whole issue is because Jesus performs this miracle on the Sabbath day. I've said this before. You know, it's interesting to me, if you look at Jesus and the miracles he performs, it seems like he's always accidentally performing them on the Sabbath day. And he's always getting into trouble with these Jewish leaders. It's like, you know, it would have been fine if you healed, but why'd you have to do it on the Sabbath day? Why does Jesus do that? It's not by accident. Jesus understood what he was doing. He did it on purpose. What is Sabbath day? What is the Sabbath day? And Sabbath day is rest. It's rest. There's a book by a New Testament theologian named N.T. Wright called How God Became King. And in that book, one of the things that he says is that every place where Jesus was when he was walking on this earth was where heaven touched earth. And that is Sabbath rest. You see, when Jesus touched this man on the Sabbath, he was bringing rest and he was fixing what was broken. He was making the sad things untrue. And everywhere Jesus is, he wants to provide rest. And so if you are coming, and I said this on our first night, you know, if you're coming to this youth retreat and you come away from the retreat and you say, I need to try harder, I need to do better, I need to work harder, I just want to invite you into the rest that Jesus provides. He's done the work. Look to him. He's the one who's done it for you. Look to your Savior and find rest in him. God bless you.
Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb. Let us sing together. And we could stand if you'd like to as we sing. We'll take our offering as we sing. As some of you know or made aware yesterday, that this is the only offering we take at Pilgrim Camp for the week. And it's used to help the children's fund for next year, children coming to camp. So you can give accordingly. 176.
In the darkness of sin, the light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light as we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. With sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash in His bidding, and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Shall we
take our seats. And before we sing the last verse, how many of you go to church when you're home, like on a Sunday morning, no matter what you've been doing, 3 a.m.? Yeah. And even when you're not from North Carolina, you go to church on Sunday. Well, you usually don't come here to church on Sunday, do you? Some of you during the summer you do. Even Brother Tom leaves here when he goes to church on Sunday when it's not camp time. Back wherever you're from, they're having church right now, right? 1105, 1106, they're in church. And we want to pray for your church. I don't know where it is, where you go, who the pastor is, who's preaching or teaching. But we want to pray for our home churches that Jesus will bless them today. And that the Lord will minister to those that are there. See, back in Ozone Park where I'm from, Brother Keith Schneider is there. We don't even have to pray for Ozone Park because that's well taken care of with Brother Keith there. But I think if he heard me say that, he'd say, no, pray for us. So, Lord, we do remember back at our churches in the city or at home, wherever we're from. We pray that you'll bless right now, Lord. Maybe your word is going out right now over a pulpit somewhere, or maybe still a Sunday school class. Lord, we pray that you'll anoint those words. Lord, they're not just words, they're your words. Words of life, words of instruction and correction, rebuke, and Lord, your words of power and authority. So we pray that the word of God today will find lodging and entrance into many, many hearts and accomplish the purpose for which you send it this morning, Lord. Lord, in each one of our churches, bless each one in attendance there. Work in their hearts. Speak to them. Pour out your spirit upon them and refresh and encourage and strengthen each one. And Lord, we think of the coming third period. As the bus comes this way and children gather Tuesday, we pray, dear Lord, that you will give your word to these children. Maybe there are those with sin-blinded eyes. Lord, we pray that the light of the world, Jesus Christ, would shine into their hearts. Lord, and that you would, right from Tuesday, right from day one, like you did last year, pour out your spirit. Minister, dear Lord. Dear Lord, to these boys, to the girls in the cottage, to those here in Watch Rock, right from the very beginning, we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon camp, Lord, upon this new group that are gathering and coming. We pray that you'll accomplish your will and purpose in each one of their lives. And we ask it for Jesus' sake, and we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Now today there's only one bell at 12:30. So when you hear a bell, don't think I have a half hour yet. You don't. You'll be late. 12:30 is lunchtime. And if you are planning to stay for lunch, if you've made arrangements or haven't, whatever, see the office, Sister Aletha. Not in the office, but catch up to Sister Aletha or Sister Elsie after the meeting. If you're not registered to stay at camp, or you're just here for the noon meal or something, see them. You can make the financial arrangements and spacing and so on after the meeting this morning, please. And then for those not youth retreat, but this is for the adult guests, we have a prayer meeting this afternoon over there in that room, the prayer room, at 4 o'clock. And so come if you can, if you'd like to, this afternoon prayer at 4. And our evening service here tonight begins at 7:30. So just to remember again, not 8:15, last night was 8 o'clock, tonight 7:30. We'll gather, Lord willing, here in the lodge. Let's sing that last stanza. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but